Leadership is important anywhere you go. Wherever you have people, you need leaders. And you not only need leaders, you need good leaders. Leadership is important in a business. Leadership is important in a school. Leadership is important in a sport. Leadership is important in the home. Leadership is important in the nation. And leadership is especially important in the church. Now, the Bible shows us that God wants elders, who are also called in the Bible bishops or pastors. God wants these men to be leaders in the church. The Bible says in Acts 14, verse 23, that elders were ordained in every congregation. Now, that is God's will. That is the ideal situation. But who are these men called elders? And what kind of character do they have? What kind of requirements do they have to meet? These are important questions, and we're going to be turning to 1 Timothy chapter 3 to begin looking at the qualifications or requirements for elders in the church. Now, it's important for us to stress that these are God's requirements. This is God's teaching. This is what God says about elders in the church. There are too many people that when it comes to this topic, really don't think much about what God has said here. They pay little or no attention to what these requirements are. Some of them say that these requirements are outdated. Some of them know that they are there, but they just don't consult them. They have their own ideas about who would make a good elder in the church. But friends, we need to follow the Bible. We need to listen to what God says about elders in the church and what the requirements for these men actually are. There are people today that set aside these requirements and say that just because a man is a successful businessman, that he ought to be put in as an elder in the church. Or they say that because a man is a successful political leader or figure, that he would make a good elder. Or just because he has been a boss on the job or a school teacher, that this qualifies him for this position. Now, of course, a man might function in those areas and gain experience that he can use in the eldership, but those things in themselves do not qualify a man to be an elder in the church. Let's look at God's requirements as they're set forth here in 1 Timothy chapter 3. Now, this is what God says about men who would serve in the office of an elder. 1 Timothy chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. This is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desires a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. Now let's go back to verse 1 and let's notice some things about these qualifications in the first place. He talks about a man desiring the office of a bishop. Well, obviously, he doesn't need to be forced into that position. He needs to want to serve as an elder because he's going to be challenged. He is going to be tried as an elder. And he needs to have a deep and a burning desire to serve in this capacity. Notice that the Bible says, if a man desire the office of a bishop. So this is an office. And this word, office, is used for the elders and later in this chapter for the deacons. So as far as the Bible is concerned, there are two positions that are called offices in the Bible. And those two positions are elders and deacons. Now, I'm not saying that because they're both called offices that they're on the same level, that they are the same as far as their position is concerned. but they are called offices specifically in the Bible. Now, men in their denominations and in their religions have come up with all kinds of positions and offices in their churches. But as far as the Bible is concerned, if we just stay with the Bible, and that is what we want to do, then we will follow and we will respect what the Bible says about elders and deacons in the church, and not invent all these other ideas and all these other positions. The Bible says if a man desires the office of a bishop, we've already seen that the word bishop refers to the same office as an elder in the church. And that's going to become even more clear when we go over to Titus chapter 1 and look at the qualifications that are given there. But here he says, if a man desires the office of a bishop, he desires a good work. There are a lot of good works. There are a lot of good things that a man can do as far as the church is concerned. Being an elder in the church is a good work. It's not something to look down upon. It's not something to look at as a menial task. Being an elder in the church is a high office. As a matter of fact, as far as offices in the church are concerned, the office of an elder is the highest office in the church. Well, the Bible says this is a good work, verse 1. Now let's look at verse 2. Here he says, a bishop then must be blameless. These are not suggestions. These are not options. These are not recommendations that God gives as general guidelines so that we have the right to pick and choose from these qualifications. No, the word must means that these are requirements. And the one that he gives in verse 2 beginning is that a bishop must be blameless. Now, this word blameless does not mean sinless. It cannot mean that a man has never made a mistake. It cannot mean that a man who serves as an elder will never make a mistake. But what it does mean is that others cannot look at him and point the finger and justly blame him for wrongdoing as a general characteristic of his life, or for sins that he has not repented of and been forgiven of. The word blameless is a word that describes his life as a whole. The Bible says that an elder also must be the husband of one wife. Now, that requirement excludes several groups of men. In the first place, it would exclude a man who has never been married. It's amazing how many people think that a man can be an elder in the church who has never been married. He's never had a wife. Well, Paul says that a bishop must be blameless, the husband of one wife. So it excludes men who have never been married. It excludes, especially in first century culture and in some cultures today, a man who is married to more than one wife. Or, as is the case sometimes in this country, a man who has unscripturally divorced and remarried several wives, because in a sense, he's trying to be married to more than one wife. Now, note that I said unscripturally divorced and remarried. But this also excludes any woman from being an elder in the church. Women cannot serve in the office of an elder or a deacon in the church. Now, that's absolutely clear here because, obviously, a woman cannot meet the qualification of being the husband of one wife. Now, there's only one way for churches to have men, like I've just described, serving as elders, or to put in women as elders in a church. There's only one way that they can do that, and that is to set aside the Word of God and ignore it. If we follow the will of God, then we're going to respect what the Bible says here. That is, that a bishop must be the husband of one wife. And by the way, there are some Bible translations which do not translate this properly. For instance, the New Revised Standard Version translates this phrase, married only once. Well, that's not what it says. It says the husband of one wife. You see, that kind of translation would prevent a man, let's say, who has been married and his wife died and then he remarried, it would prevent that faithful man from being an elder in the church. Well, it doesn't say married only once. It says the husband of one wife. The next qualification that is given in verse 2 of 1 Timothy chapter 3 is that an elder must be vigilant. Now, this word means clear-headed or self-controlled. And a man who is serving as an elder in the church is going to have a lot of self-control. He's going to have to be in control of his feelings. He's going to have to be in control of his life. He's going to have control of his tongue and watch what he says. He's going to be tempted. He's going to be tried and tested. And he's going to have a lot of pressure placed upon him. So he's going to have this quality or qualification known as self-control. The next requirement that the Bible gives here is that an elder must be sober. Now, this word is very similar to this previous word. The translation sober stresses clearness of thinking, especially in regard to spiritual matters. He is clear-minded. Now, elders have to deal with all kinds of criticism. They have to settle quarrels. They have to weigh complaints. So they have to be able to distinguish things that matter from things that don't matter. They have to be able to see the big things as opposed to the little things. They have to keep their thoughts and their minds on the goal. They can't afford to be clouded in their judgment by erratic and unreasonable feelings. So they have to be clear-minded. They have to be settled in their minds about what their life, and especially what their work as elders, is really all about. In verse 2 also, he says that elders must be of good behavior. Now, the word that is translated here, good behavior, is the same word that is translated modest in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9, just a few verses before this. And there in 1 Timothy 2, verse 9, the Bible talks about modest apparel. Well, he uses this same word translated modest here in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2, about the elder's life, and it's translated of good behavior. Now, what this means is that an elder's life should be well ordered and well arranged. Now, we would say it this way. He has to have his act together, not only in his personal life, but also in his family, and especially in the church. If a man cannot order his own life, if he cannot manage his own affairs, he certainly cannot lead and guide a congregation. And then the Bible tells us that he must be given to hospitality. An elder is a generous man. He's to be kind and giving to strangers as well as to people that he knows. And so his home and his life ought to be open to serving other people who need help. Now, we're going to end right there in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2, and in the next lesson, we're going to begin with the qualification that an elder must be apt to teach.